Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Didn't come from New York City, Chicago, or Los Angeles. He's from the U.S. Virgin Islands. He played basketball on Tobacco Road, but at Wake Forest, not Duke or Carolina. Tim Duncan didn't have an impressive nickname like King, Magic, or The Answer. And with the label The Big Fundamental, it sounded as if he were 6 feet 11 inches of boredom. Duncan did nothing to change that perception. With nothing radical to say and playing his entire 19-year career in small market San Antonio. But did you ever really watch Duncan play? It was so ironic that he took something as fundamental as the pick and roll and made it a thing of beauty, especially with his use of the glass. Duncan could bank in a shot from any position in the paint and on any spot on the glass. Sure, he won every award and 5 titles, but he didn't take a victory tour, and his retirement letter was barely 150 words. 5 paragraphs, double-spaced, and signed simply, Tim. Very fundamental.
What's going on, guys? And welcome to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That was a shout-out to another legend. I mean, we keep losing these legends, but this time this is a legend in broadcasting, and that was Mr. John Saunders, a voice I grew up with as a kid. I grew up watching Sports Reporter. I grew up watching ESPN back when he was, you know, first started. Him, Chris Berman, they're like the originals of ESPN. You know, those guys, you know, Jim Lee, I think that's his name. Those three guys are the originals, you know, the foundation of ESPN. And John Saunders, I don't know – I was baffled when I heard the news because I never heard of John Saunders being sick or anything. And he just, you know, happened to just pass away in his sleep. So it was shocking to everyone. And it's messed up because he took over for Dick Shep because Dick Shep used to run the Sports Reporters. You know, he was the host. And then Dick Shep died and passed it on to John Saunders. And now John Saunders has left us. So I'm assuming that means Mike Lupica probably is going to take over running it, you know, running the show now as the mainstay. But I just wanted to give a shout-out to John Saunders. That was one of his soliloquies about Tim Duncan and how, you know, he's basically a humble superstar. And, you know, a lot of people see Tim Duncan as being boring, and that's just because he's not in the spotlight. You know, he's a humble guy. He does everything by the book. He doesn't get in any trouble. So he basically was giving a shout-out to Tim Duncan. And I want to start off my show by giving a shout-out to John Saunders. I said, if you hear his voice, you'll know who he is. His voice is very familiar. He's done plenty of college basketball, college football. He's done NFL games. He's done NBA games. He's called some of everything. He's called hockey games. He's a big hockey guy. He's really a Canadian, but, you know, he's American at heart because he's been in our lives for years and years. But he's truly from Canada, and he's a big Canadian. He's a big fan of hockey. Wow. You know, not too many black folks are big fans of hockey, but John Saunders, he was. And, you know, like I said, I just wanted to give a shout-out to John Saunders. We lost a legend. It's sad we'll never hear his voice again. You know, we're relegated to basically hear what I just played, his voice on recordings and things like that, videos. But we'll never personally hear him or see him in front of a camera again. So I just want to say rest in peace to John Saunders. And, you know, you've been a big part of my life because I've been watching sports since I was a little kid, and I've been watching ESPN since I was a little kid, and I was a loyal follower of of the sports reporters. I watch every Sunday, and it's going to be, you know, sucky not seeing you on there anymore. You'll sadly be missed. But today's show, I'm going to be talking about the Rio Olympics and basically all the events I've been paying attention to, and I want to talk about them. And, hey, the NFL is officially here, guys. I mean, it's preseason, but it's back. It's here. So, basically, I'm going to be breaking down the four preseason games I was able to personally watch. I mean, I know it was more than four, but I can't really talk about the other ones. I didn't see them. So I'm going to talk about the four games that I personally watched. And if you guys want to call, chime in on anything, hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. If you want to talk about anything, if you want to talk about what you thought about John Saunders, you know, was he one of the best broadcasters in your opinion? He was, you know, in my book. But if you want to talk about what you like with the Rio Olympics, you want to talk about any of the sports that's interesting to you, if you want to talk about NFL preseason that's now back, tell me what you think your team's going to do. You know, what players and what teams is going to be interesting for you to follow this year. I mean, if you want to talk about any of that, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 through 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm Casey Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
Nobody told me you could die like this. Nobody told me you could die from bliss, yeah. Nobody told me, nobody told me. We never ever saw it coming on, oh. Live it up, live it up. Nobody ever told us we could die like this. Live it up, live it up. Nobody ever told us we never saw it coming on, oh. Live it up, live it up. Nobody ever told us we could die like this. Shit, nah, they was never on board. I got enemies, man, they wanna see me on the floor. I got frenemies, couldn't even tell you who they are. If you're not driven by the mission, you'll be driven by the cause. Focus on what you beginning, more than becoming who you are.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That was a little bit of Christian hip-hop. If you guys are not really into Christian hip-hop, you should give it a chance. That's this guy named Andy Mineo. He's really good. He's good on the mic. He's spitting positive stuff about Jesus, our God, and, you know, all kinds of other uplifting music. That's the type of thing he's pushing. So if you like Christian hip-hop, check out Andy Mineo. But I'm going to start off with one of the Olympic events I love to look at is Olympic swimming. It's interesting. The participants be hyped up. And they give it their all. I mean, it's the Olympics. You want to win the gold. You want to do the best you can to get a medal. So that means all the competitors are going to be out there pushing. But I'm going to start with this young lady who's just been dominating the swimming pool. I mean, she's been killing it. Her name is Katie Ledecky, and she's won four gold medals in dominating fashion. I mean, and when I say dominating, this chick has been beating other females by two body lengths, at least two body lengths. She's been destroying everyone, breaking her own world records and everything. I mean, if you want to be real about it, she might be the next female Michael Phelps. I mean, that's how dominating she's been. I mean, she also has a silver medal, but she has four golds. And if I'm not mistaken, majority of those swims have been world records. So you might want to, you know, go back and take a look at some of her swim meets if you haven't seen anything. If you DVR a lot of the Olympics like I do, or, you know, I'm pretty sure somebody done threw it on YouTube by now. Just check her out. Her name is Katie Ledecky, and she's a beast in the pool. And the next swim I want to talk about is, of course, the king. I mean, this guy has medals up the butt. I mean, he already had a record of 19 medals, and that's Mr. Michael Phelps. He's added 5 more medals to his already 19. You know, in the Rio Games, he's already won 5 in the Rio Games. 4 gold medals and 1 silver. And he's racing for another medal tonight. So this guy, he has to be the most decorated Olympian ever. I mean, I'm going to take a wild guess that he's going to win tonight too. And that's going to bring his medal total to, what, 25? This guy going to have like 25 medals for his career, because he said this is his last Olympics. I mean, London 2012 was supposed to be his last Olympics, but he had a bad taste in his mouth because the one guy from South Africa beat him. And if you were looking at the Olympics, you could tell. I mean, it was funny. The South African guy, they show him in the back room warming up. Michael Phelps just sitting there in the chair. And then you had the South African guy shadow boxing in front of him. And Michael Phelps got this mean, dead stare on his face. It was just hilarious. But you could tell he wanted him bad. He wanted to get his revenge on him because of what happened in 2012 at the London Games. And he did it. So, I mean, truthfully, there's really no reason why this shouldn't be his last Olympics, like he said it is. But like I said, he said the same thing in 12. He said he was done. He trained hard and came back for 16. He's 31. I mean, 4 years from now, he'd be 35. I mean, I don't want to say 35 is too old. That's younger than I am. You know, you never know. Maybe he might come back and get more, you know, in 4 years, but I have no idea. But the guy, he's unbelievable. And like I said, he's the most decorated Olympian in history. Well, as of right now, the medal count is the U.S. has 53 medals, China has 41, and Great Britain has 26. As usual, the U.S. is doing its job. They're collecting the most medals, but they always tend to have the most competitors too, you know, which gives them advantage, you know, over a lot of the other countries. But China's number 2 with 41. Great Britain right now is number 3 with 26 medals. But guys, if you want to call, chime in about anything, these Olympics, NFL preseason, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. If you watch that Katie Ledecky girl and you see how dominant she is, you want to talk about her, hit me up. The next event I usually like watching, I love watching gymnastics. Because those young girls, I mean, they so little. To be so tiny, I mean, those girls' average height is 5'2". And they be out there doing all these flips and just, you know, just being strong competitive. And it's crazy because all those little girls got big legs and they muscular and they just be doing their thing. You know, after all the years of training, they finally make it to this Olympic level and able to do their thing. But I want to talk about this young lady because I'm very proud of her. I don't know her personally, but I'm just proud of her because she's a young black girl. And that's Simone Biles. This girl, she came into the Olympics with so much pressure on her, you know, being number one in the world, basically, winning all these competitions and having all these awards and all that. Everyone put all this pressure on her to be the overall champ of the Olympics, to win the all around, to lead her USA team to gold. And she's accomplished that. She helped her USA team win the gold medal in the gymnast competition. And she also won the all around. So I just wanted to give her some props because, like I said, this little girl, she's a dynamo. She's only 4'9", man. She's not that much taller than my 6-year-old. She's 4'9", and dominating on the world stage like this. I mean, she has so much power. If you watch her floor exercise routine, you will marvel at it. I mean, the girl, she's doing flips like 10 feet in the air, it seemed like, and landed perfectly, sticking the landers and everything, not falling or stepping out of bounds or anything. I mean, she's just flawless. And pretty much all the, you know, all the apparatuses, you know, that gymnasts do. So I just wanted to give her a shout out too. Simone Biles for not allowing the pressure to get to her that everyone was putting on her, that she has to win, she has to, you know, be number one and all that. She didn't let it get to her. She just went out there and did her thing, and she won these medals. Like I said, she helped her team win the team gold medal, and then she went out there and won the all-around medal. I also want to give a shout-out to her teammate, Allie Reisman, who's a two-time gold medalist. She won team gold in the 2012 London Games. She and her teammate, Gabby Douglas, they both won gold on that 2012 London team. So I wanted to give a shout-out to Allie for doing that. And she also came in second for the all-around against Simone Biles. She came in second place, so she won the silver. So you had two Americans coming out of there with the gold and silver in the gymnast all-around competition. That's pretty good. And the Allie Reisman girl, she actually took the lead. She took the lead, and she had the number one spot. And then that's when Simone Biles did her floor routine and just blew it out of water, and she ended up taking it back and winning the gold. So she literally snatched the gold from her own teammate. But, hey, it was all in love. They showed them. They both were hugging it out and crying together and happy for each other. But the Allie Reisman girl, she had skills too. And the floor exercise is her best routine. And she knocked it out of the water too. But as I said, Simone Biles, she makes it look so good because she's so tiny. She's only 4'9". And to be able to do that stuff, I mean, it's ridiculous. So shout out to all the American gymnast girls. And shout out to Allie Reisman for coming in second, you know, and winning that silver. And like I said, you had two Americans on the podium. And I think one of the Russian girls finished third and won the bronze. And she was real good too. Now, another thing I want to talk about, and this is, you know, the gymnast thing too. When the USA gymnast team, when they won the team medal, the team gold, everyone made a big deal over Gabby Douglas not having her hand placed over her heart during the national anthem. And I didn't get that. I didn't understand that. I don't like it. I mean, what's the big deal? What is the big deal? And the reason why I'm saying that is because you can make a comparison. Michael Phelps, when he won his gold in one of his events, he's up on the podium laughing hilariously. He didn't have his hand on his heart. He's laughing. He's laughing like he was insane. And nobody said a word to him. Nobody said a word. Nobody criticized him. Nobody blew him up on Twitter like they blew up Gabby Douglas. And I'm just wondering, why is that? Why are they making a big deal out of Gabby Douglas? Is this another black thing that's going on? I mean, truthfully, if I was Gabby Douglas, the way things are right now in this country, the way things are going with black people in this country, I would have raised my hand up like John Carlos. Like the guy in the 60s Olympics, the two black guys who won their medals, and they had the black gloves on, and they raised their hands in the black fist. If I was Gabby, I would have did that. I mean, why not? The way things are going in this country right now, you know, for black people. So I really don't see what the big deal is. Why everybody blowing her up on Twitter and making a big deal out of her not having her hand placed on her heart. A lot of people don't do that. That's a national anthem. That's not the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance, you have your hand on your heart. Not the national anthem. I've always known the national anthem, you remove your cap and pay your respects and be quiet and sing along if you choose to. National anthem, come on, I will move my hat. I don't place my hand on my heart. When I was a kid, we sang the Pledge of Allegiance, I placed my hand on my heart. So I don't know why these folks making a big deal out of Gabby Douglas. And it's messed up because when she won the all around in the Olympics in the 2012 in London, people were getting on her then, criticizing her then. Just let the girl be in peace. Let her do her. So that just, you know, that's just, I just had a bone to pick with that because I didn't understand that when Michael Phelps was sitting there laughing and looking like a maniac while he was on the stand. Nobody said a word about him. Nobody blew up his Twitter. Oh, well, look, Michael Phelps, he wasn't taking it serious. He was up there laughing and looking like a maniac. I didn't hear anybody talking about that. I didn't see anybody blasting him on Twitter. Why is that? I'll leave it at that. Another event that I actually looked at and I actually kind of fell in love with, and I've never watched it before, rugby. Man, rugby is sick. I mean, it looks weird when they're down in that huddle. They look kind of gayish when they're all down in that huddle and you got guys, like, reaching their hands underneath guys' midsections to grab the ball. I'm not with that, but as far as the rest of the game, I like it. I mean, them guys, they be out there hitting. I mean, they be tossing that ball. They be running. It's damn near like football. They even kick an extra point. So I got to say, rugby, man, rugby is a game that I might start watching rugby now, you know, if I ever catch it on TV on one of the sports networks. I might check it out because it's actually been fun. It was fun watching rugby. And I want to give a shout-out to Fiji, their rugby team, and they have some big guys, man. Fiji has, like, some guys like 6'6", 6'8", 6'7", 6'5", and these guys are, like, all muscle. And that's the thing I know is about rugby, men's and women's rugby. Them people be big, man. They be stout. The women, man, women, man, I've been seeing their legs been like tree trunks. They've been having muscles. And they've been kind of tricky, man, because some of them women don't look like women, but they play just as physical as the men. So rugby is definitely a game that, you know, if you like physical play, you know, like a game that gives you some semblance of football, check out rugby. But like I said, I want to give a shout out to Fiji because their rugby team won the gold. And it was the first time in the history of the Olympics that their country won a medal. So I just want to give props to them. They were the best team. Like I said, they had all those big guys and they were just dominating teams. So shout out to the rugby squad for Fiji. Now, this guy, you know, I love watching this guy. I've been watching this guy since the Beijing Olympics. And that's my man Usain Bolt. He begins his quest of sweeping a third straight Olympics with gold medals. I mean, he competes in the 100, the 200 meter, and he competes in the relay. And Beijing, he did a sweep in dominating fashion. He won the 100 meter. He won the 200 meter. And Jamaica won the relay. Same situation happened in the London Games in 12. So Usain Bolt trying to do something that hasn't been done either. He's trying to get another three-peat, basically. A three-sweep. He's trying to sweep this Olympics. And he already started off. He had a heat this morning. And he made it look easy. I mean, you know, he really didn't have to go all out. And you could tell the other guys, you know, they were chucking because their arms moving all hard and their faces and their demeanor, you know, they really giving it all they got. And Bolt, this guy, he just running and then looking around to see where everybody else is before he hit the finish line. So he's going to be in good shape. I'm expecting the Bolt to sweep this Olympics too. And he said he's done after this Olympics. Expect the Bolt. He'll win the 100. He's going to meet up with Justin Gatlin again, you know, his rival. And he has said that he's going to destroy Gatlin. So it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch. Because Gatlin, he's definitely fast. He's the fastest American. And we've all said, I think he'll finish second. He'll be right there with Bolt. But I don't think he's going to beat Bolt. I mean, who knows? Maybe after all these years, Bolt might have lost a little bit of speed. But I still think he's going to beat Gatlin and the rest of the field. It doesn't matter how fast he, you know, how much speed he's lost, I still think he has enough to beat this field. And like I said, I think he's going to get the sweep. He's going to win the 100 tomorrow, to the finals tomorrow. And then he'll win the 200, whenever that final is. And then Jamaica, they just always seem to win the relay. So I'm expecting him to win, you know, win gold in the relay and go out a champion, go out, you know, a champion sweeping the medals for three straight Olympics. I mean, who does that? I believe Usain Bolt is going to be the guy to do that. Guys, if you want to talk about any of these topics, if you want to talk about the Olympics, what do you think about the Olympics? What's been your favorite event to watch? What's been the most shocking event to watch? Like, what Olympic event have you been watching that you've never watched before? Like I told you guys with rugby. There's a couple more that I looked at that really tripped me out. There's this one that they have that's basically a combination of soccer, football, hockey, and handball. The handball, they bounce the little ball and bring it up, and they got like some little dots, look like it's a long shot. Like, I wonder how many points they get if they score from those dots. I have no idea, but it has a gold net and a goalie in front of it, and it's a big field. And, you know, you can tell they play it indoors, and it looked like they're playing on a mat, a giant mat indoors. And like I said, they bounce the little ball, they pass to each other, and it's crazy because when they get a fast break, the guy runs down, and then he'll, like, jump in the air and do, like, a fake pump, fake in the air or something, and then, like, hurry up and fling it in. And I guess he'd do that to fake out the goalie, but that's been an interesting game to watch. And they also have field hockey. I've never really been much of a field hockey person, but I actually looked at that a little bit, too. Now, the games I will not watch rowing, ping pong. I mean, it is amazing how they're able to hit the ball so fast, you know, and as hard as they can on them little tables, but they be doing it. And they actually be having a rhythm going. You know, but I can't sit and watch that. And fencing, I can't really sit and watch that. Like I said, the rowing, the cycling, all that stuff too boring. Soccer, I can't do soccer. All that stuff is boring to me. I got to have something with some kind of excitement. And like I said, rugby and that handball, those are two events that, you know, I actually like those events. Now, I might not continue to follow handball, but I don't even know if they show that in this country because I've never seen that on a station before, handball. I've seen rugby on some of these sports stations here in the States. So I think I'm going to continue to follow rugby. Once again, guys, if you want to talk about any of these topics, if you want to talk about the Olympics, talk about NFL preseason, then hit me up. 1-516-453-9117.
If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports, then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1-516-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, we'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So, if you love to talk about sports and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash. And that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Crazy people riding the streets, killing unborn babies, catching shots from police. Never thought that I would see the day when I would have to pray for God to hold me down. Cause Lord, I feel like giving up today. I feel like giving up the faith. I swear these people fake. I swear they full of hate. I swear to tell the truth until I'm in the grave. Shots fired. Everybody quiet. Trying to hear the preacher. He ain't preaching to the choir. Preaching to the riot. Daddy got fired. He ain't got no Medicare. Sipping liquor in his chair. Blank stare. Need a blank check. Where your bank at? Baby's had a birthday. They gon' need a rain check. Rich man need a vacation. Hop a plane. Broke man need a vacation. Mary Jane. Walk outside and everything is rubberly. Butterflies in my stomach from this girl I wanna see. Party in the neighborhood and everybody on the street. They was on that Stevie Wonder, now it's Frankie Beverly. I done seen days go crazy, time fly by. Maybe it was yesterday or maybe 65. Peace and war, born and die. All too familiar, more lifetimes, ugh. One time for the memories. Two times for the crew. Three times for the love, y'all. And four times for the truth. And some days are a nightmare, and some dreams come true, but the Lord's still right there. It's just deja vu, oh. It's just deja vu, deja vu. It's just deja vu, y'all. It's just deja vu.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That was another Christian rapper, and he happens to be the top one in the game right now, and that was Mr. Lecrae with Deja Vu. Good song. He has plenty of hits. I'm pretty sure a lot of you probably have heard of him because he's kind of mainstream now. He's another one that I would suggest if you like Christian hip hop, pick him up. Him, Andy Mineo. You got another guy named Bizzle. He's pretty good. You got another guy named The Flame. He's pretty good. You got another guy named Bizzle. He's pretty good. Check out these guys if you like some Christian hip-hop, some good positive music, talking about the Lord, talking about positive things in life instead of all this garbage music that's being played nowadays. But I want to do a quick breakdown, well, not breakdown, but rundown of the MLB scores, Major League Baseball. This is like really a dead time for me now. I mean, football's coming back, so that helps. Baseball is okay, but I really don't get into it until the playoffs. But as far as basketball, football, I love talking about those at all times, year-round. It don't matter. As far as baseball, last night's scores, I give you a quick rundown. The Chicago Cubs, who I do believe is going to go to the World Series this year, as long as they keep it up. I really, truly want to see them and the Indians playing in a World Series. I believe that's perfect. I believe that'll be a good World Series. And, you know, Cleveland has already have their championship drought ended, with the job that LeBron and the Cavs did. But the Cubs, man, the Cubs got this big drought, and they really needed to be broken. So if it was to be the Cubs and the Indians, I'm going to root for the Cubs. I mean, no matter who the Cubs play in the World Series, I'm going to root for the Cubs because they just need to win, man. It's time. It's time. But they beat the St. Louis Cardinals, one of their nemesis, 13-2 last night. My team, who've been sucky the last couple of years, finally got a win. The Atlanta Braves beat the Washington Nationals 8-5. You got the Philadelphia Phillies beating the Colorado Rockies 10-6. You have the New York Yankees beating the Tampa Bay Rays 6-3. And Alex Rodriguez was a hero in one of his last games. I'm thinking that today is his last game. But he was one of the heroes, man. He hit basically, the shot to give the Yankees the lead for good. I think he hit a double. So Alex Rodriguez came through in his last moments as a Yankee. I mean, it's about time because that was a bad contract and the Yankees had to find some kind of way to get rid of it. But, yeah, no more Alex Rodriguez. Like I said, they beat the Rays 6-3. You had the Houston Astros beating Toronto Blue Jays 5-3. And you have those Cleveland Indians that I was just talking about, the team that I want to see in the World Series against the Cubs. They beat the L.A. Angels 13-3. The San Diego Padres beat the New York Mets. My favorite American League team, the Chicago White Sox, beat the Miami Marlins 4-2. The Boston Red Sox beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 9-4. The Texas Rangers beat the Detroit Tigers 8-5. Last year's World Series champion, small town team, Kansas City Royals, beat the Minnesota Twins 7-3. You got the Cincinnati Reds beating the Milwaukee Brewers 7-4. You got the Oakland Athletics beating the Seattle Mariners 6-3. The Pittsburgh Pirates knocked off the LA Dodgers 5-1. And lastly, you have the Baltimore Orioles beating the San Francisco Giants 5-2. So that's the MLB rundown, the scores for last night. And guys, like I said, if you want to call, chime in about any of these topics, you want to talk about the Rio Olympics that's going on right now, you want to talk about NFL preseason, football is back. I know everyone's excited. I am. Fantasy football is going to be starting up here soon. I'm already getting an idea of the teams, you know, the players I want to get put together so I try to win this money. We'll see. We'll see how that goes, but football is finally back. It's been a long time coming. We all love football. But, like I said, if you want to hit me up on any of these topics or anything else, any sports-related topic, hit me up 1-516-453-9117. 1-516-453-9117. All right. I'm still on the Olympics. I also been watching basketball. I don't watch the women's USA team because it's like, why watch it? They're going to destroy everyone. And it's been like this for years. I think the last time the women lost an Olympic game, the USA women lost an Olympic game was like in the 80s. It's been a long time, you know, since they didn't get a gold medal. But as usual, the USA women's basketball team is having no problems dismantling their competition, easily winning all their contests by at least 20 or more. But when you have players like Maya Moore, who's a beast, who's basically the female Jordan of the WNBA, you got Diana Taurasi, who does her thing. You know how good she is. You got Brittany Griner, the 6'8 phenom chick who's dunking and blocking shots and all that. Then you got Simone Augusta. You know how she used to be when she was at LSU, when she first came in the league. She is a beast. Tina Charles, another UConn product. I mean, how many good girls are going to come out of UConn that's, you know, some of the best players in the world? Gina Auriemma, she gets the best. Players from UConn on that USA Olympic team right now. So, I mean, it's just like no other team in the country has a – no other team in the world has a shot. You know, Tina Charles, Sue Bird. I mean, the rest of the world is at a severe disadvantage. It's nothing those other women can do. I mean, they just can't, they can't check them. The USA women are too athletic for them. And a lot of cases, they're too strong for them. And they just play together. And guess who the coach is of the USA women's team? Gina Auriemma. The same coach at UConn, where UConn seems to win the championship. Well, they won it. They won the NCAA championship the last four straight years. And I just wonder, you know, how much talent he got coming in this year. I mean, he lost Breonna Stewart and that other girl that was pretty good. And Breonna Stewart's on this USA team right now. So, I mean, it just don't matter. Gina Auriemma is a winner. This guy, he wins everything. He wins college basketball championships at will. He's definitely going to win, you know, with the USA Olympic team. Now, let me get on the men. The men haven't been looking too great here lately. I mean, the men's Olympic team has been challenged their last two contests, basically struggling to a 98-88 win over Patty Mills, Andrew Bogut, and Matthew Dellavedova's Australia team. And the only reason they pulled that game out is because of Carmelo Anthony, who had 31 points, and he hit 9 out of 15 three-pointers from the field. Carmelo saved them in that game. I mean, Australia was being physical with him. Bogut wasn't playing like he was scared. Bogut was throwing up floaters. I mean, Andrew Bogut, he was throwing up floaters, man. That tells you what kind of game he was having. Matthew Dellavedova doing his pesky thing, being in your face, being an irritant. Then you had Patty Mills hitting the threes. You know, see, Patty Mills' role changes when he's on the Australian team. When he's with the Spurs, you know, he's going to take the open shots. But for the Australian team, they want him to be the scorer. So Patty Mills has the green light. And I'm not mistaken, Patty Mills hit like 5 threes in that game against the U.S. So, you know, the U.S., they got to get their act together, man. Or it's going to be some doubt as far as the American public if they can really win this medal. I mean, because the game they played the other day against Serbia nearly did the impossible. They barely lost to the U.S., 94-191. The Serbs gave the U.S. its biggest challenge in years as it pertains to Olympic play. They shot 50% from the field, and as a team, they made 10 three-pointers. And like Australia, they kind of took the blueprint from Australia. They played tough. They played physical with them. They were all in their face. They were contesting all their shots. What helped the U.S. win that game is that they had 5 guys in double figures. Paul George leading the way with 15. For the most part, everybody else, a lot of other guys had 12, 11, 10. But Paul George had 15, so he led the way. But a couple plays down the stretch by Carmelo Anthony basically sealed the game. And, yeah, they struggled, man. They struggled against Serbia. So that brings some hope to Australia and Serbia that, you know, once the tournament start, who knows? Maybe they might be able to beat the U.S. And the biggest disappointment right now in the Olympics as far as men's basketball has to be Spain, because the 12 games, Spain were right there in the finals against the U.S. You expected the same thing. I mean, the only person who they have missing from their squad is Marc Gasol. Paul Gasol is there. Ricky Rubio is there. Rudy Fernandez is there. Jose Calderon is there. And a couple of those other, you know, good Spanish players are there. But they've been losing. They lost to Australia. They lost to France. I mean, they've been losing some games to some teams that they shouldn't be losing to. So it's looking like you're not going to have to worry about Spain as far as when, you know, tournament play starts. And like I said, that's kind of shocking because Spain's usually there. I was expecting Spain to be in the finals with the U.S. I mean, I'm going to say that the U.S. is going to make it to the gold medal game. They just got to get their act together and stop playing like, you know, an overconfident way, like, oh, yeah, we got this. And that's the impression I get. Like, they just, you know, kind of arrogant, like, we NBA players, man, they can't beat us. And they thinking that those other teams are going to come out there and just kneel down to them like, oh, man, we can't beat them. These are all pro players. These are all NBA players. A lot of those overseas guys play pro ball, too. They just don't play in the NBA. And Serbia came out like that. You know, Serbia came out like, you know, we're not going to kiss your feet. You know, we're not afraid of you. We're going to punch you in the mouth. And that's how Serbia came out on them, man. And you could see the difference. You know, the Serbs weren't intimidated at the NBA players. They seem to view it as a challenge. And, you know, like I said, the Aussies, the Serbs, and the Argentinians may be the only teams who could challenge the U.S. So it's going to be interesting when this tournament, you know, this single-game elimination tournament start. What's going to happen? U.S. going to have to be on point. Or are they going to be like that 96 team with my boy Iverson and Carmelo and those guys who lost? Lost to Argentina and didn't come out with no goal. But we'll see. I said they're going to have to change their ways. They're going to have to, you know, start taking these other teams seriously. But, you know, we'll see how that go. All right. I'm about to get into some football. I watched 4 games. four games so far. So those are going to be the four games I talk about. If you want to call and talk about any of these games or talk about your real Olympic experience, what you've been watching, what you like, what events that's going on in the Olympics that you didn't like but now you like, 1-516-453-9117. Welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. The first game I'm going to talk about is going to be the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns. Aaron Rodgers didn't play in this game. I was hoping to at least get a quarter out of him. Well, not a quarter, but a series. It's usually the first preseason game to start as a go a series or two, you know, just to see what they got. But Aaron Rodgers, he didn't play. It was, oh, man, I'm sorry. I got a sneezing fit going on right now. It was, I'm assuming there's a guy that was trying to make the team. He's a third-string guy, and his name was Callahan. That was his last name. He came in and made a couple of good plays, but you really didn't see much. I want to see what Eddie Lacy looked like. And in my opinion, Eddie Lacy still looks big, like not muscular big, but fat big. I mean, they say he lost like 20-some pounds. I really couldn't tell. But he was still nimble. You know, he's still nimble and quick on his feet. He got a couple of decent runs. The Packers defense was flying everywhere. They made plays. But it really wasn't a lot of offensive firepower. You know, it's basically vanilla. It was like a vanilla game, vanilla defense, vanilla offense. You know, these teams not really going to try to show a lot. It's really not in the first preseason game. But I'm pretty sure, you know, once Aaron Rodgers come back, the Packers will be back to normal. The Packers going to be that high-flying offense that we, you know, used accustomed to seeing. Like I said, Jordy Nelson's back. He didn't play in the preseason game against the Browns, but he's back. And hopefully just his presence will allow the guys who had disappointing seasons last year, Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams, who I had in my fantasy and didn't give me nothing. Because I really thought with Jordy Nelson going down, Devontae Adams would take that big step. He didn't. And I really especially thought that Randall Cobb would take that step and become the man for a season. But he didn't. In my opinion, it was Richard Rodgers, the tight end, who kind of elevated his game. And those other receivers, Jared Aberderis and Crabtree, those guys elevated and stepped up last season. Not the guys you expected, you know, in Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams. But once Rodgers get back, we'll start seeing, you know, that high flying offense. Now, as far as the Browns, this guy, I'm really rooting for this guy to do good because I like RG3, and he had a hell of a rookie year. He won Rookie of the Year. He was better than Andrew Luck his rookie year. But it's like I truly believe in Washington. He let all that fame get to his head, and he developed an arrogance, and that just took his game downhill. The injuries started coming, and I believe that's because he made a lot of his teammates not like him. He never went to the coach. He always went straight to the owner about anything, and you can't do that, man. You can't sidestep your coaches and go and take an issue to the owner, you know. But that's how much Daniel Snyder loved RG3. He gave RG3 that power to be able to come to him and bypass the coach. And I believe a lot of his teammates, you know, disliked him because of that. And you saw it. And that's why he got beat up so much, because it got to the point his offensive line stopped protecting him in Washington. They were just, I swear, I've seen some Washington Redskins games where they're literally just let the hole open up so the defensive tackles and linebackers could come straight through and just tee off on RG3. But that's enough of his Washington Redskins days. He gets a new shot in Cleveland under Hugh Jackson. And Hugh Jackson is known as the quarterback whisperer. I mean, look what he did for Andy Dalton. I believe he's going to help RG3. His first series, everything was going pretty good. Him and Terrell Pryor, the ex-Ohio State quarterback who's turned receiver now, him and Terrell Pryor might have something going on, man, because he threw a nice long bomb to him, and Terrell Pryor made a couple of good catches. So maybe Terrell Pryor is completely converted over to a wide receiver now. But RG3 has targets, man. If Terrell Pryor can play like he looked in that Packers game, and then you got Josh Gordon coming back, you know, in game 5 against my Patriots, which I will be at, and then he has Gary Barnidge at tight end. He has weapons. He has some targets he could throw the ball to. It's just a matter of RG3 to get out of his own head, because that first drive that they had was looking good. He drove him down to like the 20-yard line, then he just threw a horrible pick. I don't know if Gary Barnidge ran the wrong route, but he's trying to throw it down the seam, you know, to the tight end. And it's almost like he didn't give Gary Barnidge no time to get there. I don't know if he felt the pressure and got scared, but he chucked it and he threw it straight to, you know, the Packer player. And he intercepted it. So that wasn't a good, you know, a good first drive. And then the second drive, he really didn't do much in the second drive. It seemed like he was tentative, you know, nervous. So he just has to play a few more games. You know, hopefully he'll have it back on track when the season starts. If not, then he's going to be losing that job to Josh McCown, who was the quarterback last year. Because Josh McCown came in and ran the offense better than RG3. So, you know, that's going to have people whispering. The people in Cleveland are going to be whispering. But who knows? People in Cleveland might not even care right now. They just, hey, they happy they got a championship from the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got a championship in the city. That celebration is going to ride. That might give breaks to the other teams. Cleveland's going to ride that championship for the next couple of years. So they probably won't even care. The Browns. The Browns will probably finish 1-15. They probably won't even care. No, I'm pretty sure some would care. But I really hope RG3 could do good. I'm rooting for him. Like I said, I liked him. You know, I liked him better than Andrew Luck the rookie year. That boy, he came out. I mean, he's on fire. Throwing long bombs, running for touchdowns. I want to see that RG3 again. But who knows if we'll get him. All right, the next game that I watched personally, and you guys know I watched this, and it was the Patriots against the Saints. And see, really, truthfully, I'm not really big on watching preseason football, but I kind of have to this year with Brady being out the first 4 games. I have to watch every Patriot game because I need to see what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do. I need to see how he's going to look with the first-team offense. I need to see if he's going to be able to make plays in the pocket. I'm going to need to be able to see if he can make plays out of the pocket, which he should be able to because he's athletic and he can run the ball, unlike Tom Brady, who's a statue in the pocket. Garoppolo can run. So I want to see what all he can do. And the first game against the Saints, he played a solid game. He threw for like 168 yards, had one touchdown. He threw a bad pass, though, that should have been picked off. He threw it across his body. You can't do that. But other than that, Jimmy looked good. I mean, he took a couple of bad sacks. He held on to the ball too long, you know, a couple of situations too. But as the game went on, he started getting better and better. And I got to say, man, that Patriot defense looked good. They're making plays all on the Saints defense. I mean, they got a couple. They picked off Drew Brees, got a Jamie Collins, got a pick six. They put a lot of pressure on Drew Brees. Jabal Sheard with the pressure. Chris Long, who came over from the Rams, he made plays. Martellus Bennett looked good. He made a couple of nice catches. Of course, Gronk didn't play. I mean, I would not play Gronk this whole preseason. Why? There's no reason to play him. Wait till the regular season. Well, Martellus Bennett, he looked good. He got some reps with Jimmy. The rookie wide receiver, Malcolm Mitchell. Man, he looked good. He looked real good. Like he'd be a good weapon to use. Nice size. He's making good catches. Ran good routes. But he dislocated his elbow. So I'm hoping that doesn't affect him in his roster spot. I'm hoping that the coaching staff, Josh McDaniel, liked what he saw in him and decided to, just keep him around. Don't cut him or let him go or anything. Keep him around. He'll be back in 4 weeks and go from there because I like what that rookie showed me. And it's always good to have a good receiver. I mean, a lot of guys didn't play also. A lot of our offense didn't play, so you really can't see what Jimmy's going to look like until he has everybody there. I mean, the new addition from Buffalo, the Chris Hogan guy, he didn't play. Amendola didn't play. Edelman didn't play. Gronk didn't play. You had a lot of guys that did play. Deion Lewis didn't play. You had LeGarrette Blount who played. The running back who I've been wanting to see for the last couple of years, Tyler Gaffney, he played. He had a 46-yard touchdown run. And maybe he might be something because I'm kind of getting to the point now where I'm kind of had enough of LeGarrette Blount. I mean, I like Blount, but if they were to cut him, I wouldn't care. Give this Tyler Gaffney kid a shot, especially if he plays good for the rest of the preseason. Now, as far as the Saints, Drew Brees is Drew Brees. I mean, he threw a long bomb to Brandon Cooks and – one of our secondary guys got burnt. Brandon Cooks looks like he's in mid-season form. Drew Brees laid it out for him. Mark Ingram had some nice runs. The Saints, they have the capability of being an explosive offense. But the question with the Saints is their defense. How good is their defense going to be? I don't know. So you folks down in New Orleans might be in trouble. It depends on your defense. I mean, we know your offense is going to be good, but what about the defense? And the next game I watched was the Jets and the Jaguars, and I've been pubbing up the Jaguars for a minute now. I truly believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win the AFC South. And, guys, if you want to chime in about anything, 1-516-453-9117. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win in the AFC South. Sorry, Colts fans. Sorry, Texans fans. Especially sorry, Tennessee fans. You're going to be cellar dwellers. So I guess, my apologies really should go to the Colts fans and the Texans fans, but Jacksonville is going to win, man. I mean, Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson's the two most underrated receiving duo. Allen Robinson, who had 1,400 receiving yards and 14 touchdowns last year. Allen Hurns, who had 1,100 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns last year. In that Jet game, against their first unit, you know, the Jets have a good defense. Revis didn't play, though. But other than that, the Jets got a good defense. And against that first unit, Blake Bortles was able to throw a long 50-yard bomb to Allen Robinson, you know, right over the top of that defense. And Allen Hurns, he made plays, too. He almost got a score, but they stopped him at the one-yard line. Now, I don't think Julius Thomas played, but Julius Thomas, he came on last year. You know, towards the end of last year, it was exciting. He played. He balled out. So imagine if Julius Thomas have a good season, a good full season like he had when he played with Peyton in Denver, to go along with those two Allens at the wide receiver spot, to go along with T.J. Yeldon at the running back, to go along with Chris Ivory, who ran against his old team the other day when they played the Jets. He had some good runs against the Jets. So they got a running game. They got a passing game. Their defense is better. Their defense was flying everywhere on the Jets. And they gave up a couple of pass plays to Fitzpatrick, but other than that, Jaguars look good, man. And I just don't see them not winning the AFC South, you know, unless a catastrophic injury happens. Other than that, the Jaguars and Oakland Raiders, in my opinion, are going to be the surprise teams for this 2016-2017 season. And I want to see if I'm going to be right. But the rest of the NFL and you know, defensive coordinators, they better start game planning for those two Allens, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. If there's any fantasy football players out there, pick up either one or both of them, because both of them are going to get the rock. I had both of them last year, not in the same league, because I play in like five different fantasy football leagues. But I had each of them in one of my leagues, and both of them produced the whole season. I already gave you the numbers. And Blake Bortles, a young quarterback, he threw for like 34 touchdowns last year, most of them to those two guys. And he can't do nothing but go, you know, go up, get better. And they have another year under their belt together, those receivers and that quarterback. So it's going to be better this year. So if I was you, I would pick up Blake Bortles or Allen Hurns or Allen Robinson. Pick up any one of those three guys, and they're going to give you numbers. And as far as the Jets, I mean, you got Brandon Marshall, you got Eric Decker. You know, their quarterback, Fitz, is back. I mean, they should be a solid team. Their defense is good. They just didn't, you know, they didn't do much in that game. Because, you know, like I said, the first preseason game is mainly vanilla. The starters, you know, usually get no more than one or two series. Other than that, it's backups and rookies and free agents and, you know, those type of guys trying to make the team that you're going to see for most of the game. So the Jets, you know, we'll see more of them as the preseason goes on. And the last game I was able to look at was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Eagles. And I have no interest in the Eagles at all. And Sam Bradford is a joke to me. I think they should start Carson Wentz kid. Why not? But they're going with Sam Bradford and Chase Daniels as the 1-2. Carson Wentz kid is a 3. He got in the second half, and, you know, he made rookie mistakes, and he made some positive plays too. But, you know, that's a rookie. Sam Bradford came in. He really didn't do much at all. The Eagles' defense was high-flying, was everywhere. The Eagles' defense helped the Eagles' offense get the first two scores because they got turnovers basically in their own red zone. One of the fumbles they got on the kickoff, which got them great field position at, like, the 15-yard line. And Ryan Matthews ended up getting a touchdown for him rushing for the Eagles. And I like Jameis, and I got big expectations for Jameis Winston this year, but he looked, you know, he started off looking kind of shaky. He made a couple of good throws here and there, but he was shaky. He threw an interception. He fumbled the ball. His throws weren't pinpoint. So I'm expecting big things out of Tampa Bay, especially their offense. I mean, you got Mike Evans. You got the pocket hamster, Doug Martin. You got the one guy, Cobb, you know, who's a versatile back who can run it and catch it out the backfield. Jameis Winston has some, you know, has some things to work with, so I expect him to get back on track. But he didn't look too good in that game against the Eagles. And then, like I said, the Eagles, I mean, they have a couple good players, but I just don't believe in Sam Bradford because he stays hurt all the time and he really doesn't give you much. And I don't know what to think about them. Ryan Matthews, he's a decent running back. Jordan Matthews, at wide receiver, he's good. And they still got Zach Ertz and Brent Celek at tight end. They have some decent players, but I just don't expect them to be able to do anything in the NFC East. I don't think that they're better than the Giants or the Redskins or the Cowboys, depending on, you know, if the Cowboys can stay healthy or not. So, guys, those are just some of the topics I wanted to talk about. If you want to call in, feel free. If you want to chime in about any of these topics or if you have your own topics you want to talk about as it pertains to sports, 1-516-453-9117. I'm about to get ready to close out the show.
Dame Dollar. Yeah. The wait is over. Look. My first encounter with adversity was somewhat an emergency. I fell off the path and my mental, it needed surgery. The more I stumbled off, the more my actions started irking me. I got it together and the top looked like my turf to be. They think money rules, I'm rich and I'm done with school. My problems still exist, so don't listen to none of fools. For currency, they running their lives in the paid in full. I took a task and made it cash in my path and became cool. My life came full circle as the park was throwing left hooks. Now I'm in the league with Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. Took a couple bumps, boy, you never received. My chest shook, my heart came from a lion. This path, only the best took. I wanna check the critics, cause all the things they nitpick, they always seem to skip where he started this ascension, like reciprocity. But that ain't what they give him. I did it from the jump, but you stumble, they pay attention. Aware of my surroundings at all times, a wall fly. I spot a coward a mile off. No small mind, put that pressure all on my shoulders. Return with Hulk spine, a hothead when they rain on my parade. Let my thoughts drop. Experience in my life prepared me for the highlights. All the times I struggled just prepared me for the highlights. Used to circle shoes in East Bay.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Wash. That was my boy Dame Lillard, aka Dame Dollar. Portland Trailblazer point guard, one of the last best rappers in the NBA. I mean, Amon Shumpert's pretty good, but Damian Lillard is probably the best rapper in the NBA right now. And that was one of his songs. If you want to listen to some of his songs, check them out on YouTube. Just type up Damian Lillard or Dame Dollar and all his music come up. It's pretty good. But as I said, the Rio Olympics has been interesting. I'm looking forward to finishing them. I want to see what my boy Bolt going to do, see if Usain Bolt's going to complete this sweep it out this year, and they need to have 9 goals in a period of, what, 12 years. That's going to be ridiculous. I don't see anybody doing that again. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to see if either Australia, Argentina, or Serbia are going to be able to beat the USA men's team when tournament time start, when the tournament come around. Single elimination. I want to see if U.S. going to be back on track. Like I said, I'm not even going to worry about the women's team. They're going to win straight through. It doesn't matter. I don't really see any other women's team of the world being able to compete with them. So they basically, I mean, they might as well just end this tournament. Just go ahead and let them play the championship game now. They shouldn't even play in the tournament because just put them in the championship. Let it be a tournament for all the other teams in the world. Just go ahead and just give the USA women a bye. put them in the finals right now because that's where they're going to be. I just don't see any team beating them. You know, after tonight, swimming is going to be over. They have diving going on right now. Water polo, something else I can't watch going on right now. But like I said, I'm definitely going to pay attention to rugby. If I'm ever turning channels and come past a rugby game, I'm going to stop and watch it for a little while because the Olympics made me like rugby. Now, the handball, I've never seen that on the American, you know, TV station. If any of you have, tell me what channel. Other than that, I don't see myself watching it. But if I ever saw it on TV again, I would check it out because that was interesting too. But like I said, the rowing and all that stuff, I really don't care about it. I don't have to see that. They also, and the ping pong, and the fencing, I don't have to look at that stuff. They also had a trampoline. That tripped me out. Just seeing them, they bouncing, jumping all high, and they have to land on the X, and they do flips and tricks. I mean, it's pretty cool. But, yeah, I mean, the Olympic experience has been pretty good. It's been a good break from, you know, just keeping track of baseball. Like I said, I'm really not a big baseball guy, not until the playoffs start. I mean, don't get me wrong, I can go to a baseball game, but as far as sitting down and watching it in front of the TV set, I can't do it. You know, only when the playoffs arrive. When the playoffs arrive, it's a different ball game. You know, everything is amped up more. It's more fun to watch then. So having the Olympics, you know, come around this year was a good break, and we still got another week. It'll be over next week sometime. And as far as NFL, like I said, it's back. We got preseason games right now. I know a lot of people are not interested in preseason games. I'm not. But I just have to be able, I have to watch the Patriots preseason games this year. I normally don't. I normally don't watch any preseason games because it's preseason. But I have an interest. I have to watch the Patriots because I got to see how Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do. I got to see how he's going to progress every preseason game leading up to that game one in Arizona, because I truly believe my Patriots are going to get blown out in Arizona. But then we're going to reel off the next three straight. And then Mr. Brady will be back game five in Cleveland. And I'm going to keep saying it, which I will be at. And it's going to be a whole different ball game, yeah. It's going to be the Up Yours tour, the middle finger tour of the NFL. The Patriots are going to be looking to destroy everybody. And if that defense could keep playing, if that defense can maintain what I saw in that first preseason game against the Saints' first team offense, I'm not counting the scrubs and the backups and all that. I'm talking about the Saints' first team offense. If that defense could put pressure on the first-tier offense, quarterback, make plays, Patriots might have some, man. All y'all Patriot haters, I don't know. Y'all might be hating some more. But I'm going to end on this. Sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without it? Thank you for listening to my show. For you listeners out there that do listen, I do this show on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. So if you ever feel like you want to talk about some sports, no matter what, except golf, cricket, fencing, rowing, hockey. Well, I could talk a little hockey, especially if you go, you know, hockey in the 90s. I can do that. But for the most part, I can talk about pretty much anything. So if you want to talk about some sports, you know, hit me up. And that number, 1-516-453-9117. Wednesdays, Saturdays, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you, guys. And I hope to see you guys Wednesday.